Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Philip Lightbaum. Philip is a recent graduate of Lewis University and founder of Analytics for Athletes. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Philip will deliver a talk titled Breaking Down the Film, College Basketball Analytics. Philip, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right, great. Thank you for joining. Thanks again for joining me. So let's just get started off a big picture question. Tell me about your background. How do you choose your college? How do you choose Lewis? What did you study and how did you eventually get involved in basketball analytics?
So grew up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, real familiar with Stevens Point. Speaking of choosing a college, you know, Stevens Point was one of my top schools on my list. I, you know, visited there, so real familiar with the campus, but ended up at Lewis University in Romeoville, Illinois. I just wanted to be, you know, kind of out of the state of Wisconsin a little bit. I wanted to be closer to Chicago. You know, my major sports management, so wanting to get into a bigger market like Chicago where there'd be a lot of opportunities for me, and just graduated from Lewis. And, you know, I can really say that I really took advantage of my location being at Chicago. I was able to work the NBA draft combine the past 4 years and make some really solid connections in the sports world just being around the Chicago area. So Lewis was definitely a great fit for me. And then just getting into sports analytics, my professor, Zach Binkley, who's actually speaking at the conference again this year, introduced me to sports analytics my freshman year. And I never would have thought in a million years, you know, that I was going to get into stats and analytics and things like that. But when he introduced me to a project that he wanted some student help on, you know, I just kind of took that over and really, you know, really enjoyed the analytics route of things, especially in the basketball world, which is what I was so familiar with. And then, you know, just evolving from there with, you know, Zach Binkley and then a lot of projects on my own, just getting a lot more involved in, you know, analytics and numbers.
So did you have him for a specific class or did you just kind of cross paths at some point?
Yeah, he, you know, he was my professor for two classes. We ended up kind of collaborating a little bit. I helped him with he's now teaching a sports analytics class at Lewis. And I was in that class with him, you know, I think it was his second year, but I was, you know, trying to help him figure that class out a lot just because that's a class he wanted to push and introduce to students and get more people involved in analytics.
Okay. And again, Philip is referencing Zach Binkley from Lewis University, who is set to deliver a talk titled Monitoring Jump Performance and Volume Using Vert Technology. I hope to get Zach on the podcast yet within the next few weeks before the conference. Talk about what you did at the Combine. I mean, what sorts of things were you measuring? How analytics can apply to a lot of different things in sports. In this case, it's measuring physical attributes? Is that fair to say?
Yep. So a lot on my end, I work at the facility that hosts the Combine. So a lot on my end was more the logistics, kind of setting up a lot of the preparation. But obviously, I was there for the actual live days that were on ESPN, things like that, just kind of seeing how a lot of that stuff is breaking down and then building relationships with, you know, BAM testing and some of the other tech companies that are there measuring the stats and the measurements, kind of seeing on their end how they do things and, you know, whether they have opportunities or things, but really getting my hands on their product and seeing how it works was, you know, kind of the biggest experience there.
Okay. So, again, full disclosure here, you know, I read a story about you, late March, maybe early April, in your hometown paper, the Sheboygan News, correct? Is that what it's called? The
Sheboygan Press, yeah.
Press, yep. I should have known that. I'll get that pick. Sorry, so Sheboygan Press, and it was talking about your work with the Loyola University men's basketball team, which, you know, in all candor, in most years wouldn't really jump out that much. Not your work, but just the Loyola University. But this year, of course, Loyola went on, you know, a historic Cinderella run to the Final Four. Has captivated the country. My son wanted to go stop by Loyola when we were in Chicago over March, over his spring break. tell me how you got hooked up with Loyola and what kind of things you did for them. And then secondly, just what was it like to be around that team during that such a magical run like that? Oh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, so the two-part question.
Yeah.
I got you. I'll answer the first part. So at Lewis, I was the basketball manager for 3 years under Scott Trost there, a Division II school. And I tried to implement some stat stuff with him, and, you know, their staff wasn't really, you know, comfortable with analytics. They didn't really use it. So, you know, I tried to work with him and reach out to some of my other connections in the college world just to see if I can work with a team, because that's what I wanted to do, was work with a team full time. And he hooked me up with Porter Moser at Loyola. It was kind of funny. Like, I started with them in October, and Lewis ended up playing Loyola in like a exhibition or like a scrimmage game. And, you know, I'd been there already like a month, so I kind of knew a lot of their staff. And by the time Lewis came and played there, it was kind of like I was sitting on the fence with both parties. But, you know, Lewis and Scott Trost really hooked me up with Loyola, and really just from there back in October is when I got started with them on a lot of analytical things. So what I did with Loyola was I was really their full-time analyst, really breaking down a lot of opponent player personnel. So, you know, I would have conversations with their assistant and the head coach, obviously Porter Moser, about what they wanted to know from a game-by-game basis, whether it was on the team side or on each individual player. And they really kind of wanted to know, you know, how do we guard these certain situations? Like, what they want to force, obviously, the opponents into situations where they're not comfortable or statistically just not very successful. And, you know, it was one thing on my end to perform all this, to give them the hard reports, but on their end to see them actually like apply it, use it, and then speak it to their players was one thing. And then see them execute it though too, because like I can get them prepared you know, as much as I can for a game with a scouting report, and they can be as prepared as possible, but if they can't execute it with the players, I did my job as an analyst. Obviously the players have to do theirs, but to see their success and their record really just kind of validated a lot of the things I was doing, just because they could execute the game plan, and they did it to such a good degree. And I mean, just doing it for an entire season was great to see, not just for one or two games over the entire season. There was with opponents that they were familiar with, like conference games, but then seeing the country, and Loyola went down there and, you know, really dictated the pace, controlled the game. They did what they wanted to do and ended up beating Florida, you know, at Florida.
So just for the record, Loyola's margin of victory against Lewis was the same as it was when they beat Kansas State to go to the Final Four, 16 points in both cases. So we'll take that for what it's
worth. Did I answer both part of your questions?
Sort of. I'll ask it again. That was a really long-winded question, so my apologies for that. I tend to do that sometimes. But a couple things, though, based on what you just said, though. So what sorts of analytical-based scouting, or how did you infuse analytics into these scouting reports? Was it like a shot chart type thing where, you know, let's push these guys to the left corner? Or was it this guy shoots a lot better off the catch than off the dribble? Those sorts of things. How did you incorporate analytics into your scouting reports?
So it was helpful. You know, I had the availability to have these conversations with the coaches tonight, and I could kind of understand really what they wanted to know, and then building that relationship, that trust, and that kind of knowledge of, all right, the coaches like to know this information for certain games. But really, it's a lot of film-based stuff is what I did. So really kind of analyzing and breaking down film and giving them detailed, you know, analysis of a player is in pick and roll situations as the ball handler, you know, for 50% of his offense. So obviously you're going to see a lot of pick and roll against this individual player. How do you defend that? So the coaches are going to want to go over screens and probably hedge hard with their big. Well, sometimes if the guy's not a very good jump shooter, you got to know that so you can afford to go under and kind of maybe play more of the ball handler. And it was really cool. It was early in the season. I did a a report on one of their opponents and their point guard, really successful getting inside the paint, but really couldn't shoot the ball off the dribble outside really at all. So just trying to make a report. And again, there were shot charts, there were stats, but I like to throw in then text too. It really builds a story, and it lets the coaches kind of understand a little bit more, and they don't have to do as much interpreting, because sometimes I would just give them a number and they wouldn't maybe understand it, or they wouldn't interpret it the right way. So just giving them some text to back it up. And then it was cool to see, you know, the head coach acknowledge the information, apply it to their scout. But then I was at their practice that same day for that scout, and he was talking stats to the players. He was talking, you know, my numbers in the report to the players and saying, hey, this is why we're going to go under the screen, or this is why we want to force him to take jump shots. And then they were running the drills, the specific actions, kind of around the stats. And it was just really cool to see them use that tool that I kind of provided for them.
That's great. Good story. So you've touched on it in your last couple answers, but just talk about the importance of communication in this whole process. And you know, it's kind of two-pronged. On the front end, you are communicating with them to try to find out exactly what you want, so that you're not just chasing, chasing whatever you're interested in. You're chasing what ultimately your client wants. And then communicating it back to the coaches and the players, because if you could come up with the best findings in the world, but if you don't have a way of articulating that to those players and those coaches, it's sort of worthless, right? So talk about your thought process as you went through both of those phases of communication.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously it takes a lot of time on my end, or basically any analyst, that takes time to break down a lot of film, and that's how I build my knowledge of the game and on the individual players that they want to know about. And having that conversation with the coach on the front end obviously saves me time and just gives me a better understanding of, you know, what do they really want to know, so I don't have to waste time on things that they don't care about. And that's going to be different for each coach at a program, and that's going to be different really for each game too, just because of the different ways each team, you know, plays, with whether that's personnel or, you know, obviously how the program's offensive philosophy is. But really just kind of understanding just the communication process of each coach understands things at a different level. And I can show the head coach of Loyola, you know, the scouting report I did for him, but if I show it to a different coach, he might not get it, just because I want to tailor each report to how the coach picks up analytics, just whether it's more text or more advanced stats. You know, that was one thing that came back to me at the end of the year and said, hey, this stuff was great, but if you could add more advanced stats and kind of maybe have a little word bank and explain what each of them means, they thought that would have been helpful too. But you know, just really having that conversation helps both ends produce better information.
Okay, so playing devil's advocate here, though, you know, you're talking to these coaches, you're getting a sense for what they want to do so that you can deliver that. What happens when in the midst of this process you stumble upon a finding or whatever, some subset of information, some scouting intelligence that they hadn't asked for, and how do you go about determining whether or not that is worth relaying to them or just sticking to what they asked for? Did you ever have a situation like that?
Yeah, so I had a lot of situations like that at the end of the season when Loyola went on that crazy run in the tournament. Like, they would play on Thursday, their first game against Miami. They won that game, and all of a sudden they're playing already Saturday early afternoon. Well, they're in Dallas. I'm in Chicago. I can try to get a hold of them, but, you know, the amount of time that I got with the coaching staff at that period was minimum. And I didn't really get a whole lot of, hey, could you look at this for us? It was a lot of me on my own. Okay, Loyola is not going to know anything about their next opponent, Tennessee. They might know, you know, they have one or two really good players, but what does that mean? So really on my end, it's like, all right, how can I be creative? How can I think of things that I know that they're going to want to know? And that's where it takes maybe more time on my end to really kind of figure out their personnel and figure out whether it was Tennessee or Who else do they play? Kansas State. Like, they don't know a lot on their opponents. So how can I, especially with such a time crunch like that, be effective with the amount of time that I have? So I guess, yeah, like if there was something that I found that they didn't ask for, I would definitely include it in the reports. Just have to be a little bit more text heavy on the communicating it so they can understand it and apply it.
Okay. You also have done some work with the Northern Illinois women's team, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So how did those experiences differ? Different coaching staff, different players, same general level of competition, right, in the overall scheme of the NCAA. Right. But just describe the similarities and differences from working with the Loyola men's team and the Northern Illinois women's team.
Yeah, so it was different because I was with Loyola the entire season, and obviously that time commitment for them was so huge. And the assistant coach at NIU reached out to me and, you know, knew I was doing analytical work. And at the time, you know, they were early in their season, and they had a big game against Central Michigan, who's one of their best teams in their conference in the MAC. And they wanted to know a lot of information on, you know, how can we build a game plan around beating them. And both schools, NIU and Central Michigan, they run the ball. They're really up-tempo, fast-paced. So how can they be most effective? Because they weren't going to slow it down and try to dictate the pace. They wanted to push it too. But at the time, NIU, they lost two of their starters to ACL injuries. So they were trying to put the pieces back together and still somehow, you know, be able to beat the best team in conference. And I came with them just for a one-game scouting report just on Central Michigan. And that's really all I did with them the entire year, where it was different Loyola all season, Central Michigan, a one-game report where they wanted to know a lot of information just on one team, just so they could, you know, build up for, in their mind, the biggest game of the year. That's what I think was cool about it, where I could be with a staff all season, but then have the availability to reach out to multiple other teams and say, hey, you have a big game coming up here. Let me do some analysis and give you a 5-6, how many page report you want on this team. And it was cool with Northern Illinois and that staff, because we had a lot of back and forth conversation. After I sent them my initial scouting report, they said, hey, we like this. Now can you provide us A, B, and C off of that? Because they were really, you know, they saw what I could provide to them, and then they had more questions after, which I think was really cool. And just providing, whether it was Loyola or NIU, with the information beforehand so they could actually digest it a couple of days before the game or a week before the game so they could apply it, and then also ask for more questions.
Yeah. I imagine, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword comparing your two situations there with Northern. You're coming in for one game. You don't have that seasons-long familiarity with coaching styles and personnel pluses and minuses, or, you know, seeing an opponent multiple times, but you also get a completely fresh look at things, right?
Yep,
and I mean,
sure.
I know that, having coached myself, you develop tendencies for what you do, and it's healthy to break those sometimes. So having somebody like you come in to do a one game analysis of an opponent could be really helpful that way.
No doubt.
All right. So tell me about analytics for athletes that you listed on your bio. What is that?
Yeah, so it's a company I created almost 2 years ago now. I really initially wanted to just kind of start working with teams like I'm doing right now. And from this, when I started with the team level, I kind of got into a lot of player development stuff with postseason, because I kind of looked at it, all right, now that the season's over, how can I continue to work with either teams or just individual athletes? And right now, in my mind, analytics is really kind of undervalued when it comes to player development. Like I'll see trainers work out four guys at the same time, and obviously they might be different positions. They might be different, completely skill set players, but they're putting them through the same workouts. And I kind of just see that as just kind of being way too general, and I want to individualize how player development is done. And I think using advanced stats on that individual player and video to just kind of tailor an individual workout around that specific player is the direction I'm trying to take this with this company, and really just trying to, you know, get my hands on one player and work with them for, you know, the remainder of the offseason for 2 or 3 months, really just kind of record their development and continue to work with them on really specific things that I can identify in their game that are weaknesses through the stats and through video, really kind of making it a complete package where I'm sitting down with the athlete in the film room and we're kind of breaking down here's what we're going to work on today and here's why we're going to do it, showing them film, showing them stats. And right now, you just kind of think a lot of athletes aren't, especially at the college level, are being surrounded by information like that. And I think to do that would be pretty unique.
Okay. So you graduated from Lewis within the last couple of weeks. Congratulations on that.
Appreciate it.
So we talked a little bit before we started recording, but tell us about what you hope to do next in your career.
Yeah, so I want to stay in the college world, kind of like I did with Lael and NIU this past season. I want to be a full-time analyst for a team. You know, I know that you got to take the right steps in order to do that. I'd love to be a graduate assistant at the Division I level. Really, I'm ready to move, ready to grow my network and kind of see where it takes me. But right now, if I could be, a GA at any real Power 5 D1 school on the men's or even the women's side, would be great for me just to continue to work with high-level programs in the college world and be able to show a staff like I did with Lael that this is a full-time position that you can really benefit on to give yourself a real competitive advantage.
Okay. What kind of advice would you have for somebody who would like to do something like you did in college, get involved with analytics on a very real basis, not just a classroom or a project basis, but getting involved performing analytics work with an actual team? What kind of advice would you give somebody looking to do that?
See, that's crazy because, I just graduated college a week ago. I still feel like I'm a part of college, so I'm still constantly, looking for advice and things like that. But if I could tell anyone that is going into college, in college right now, it's just if you want to get into sports analytics, you really want to just build each day on getting better yourself. Like, I started this 3 years ago now with Professor Zach Binkley down at Lewis, and it's been such just like a process. I still had my first original project that we worked on together and just kind of seeing where that grew and took me in a year's time to what I was able to do. And now seeing what I can do now, just kind of understanding that this is going to, it's going to be a process. It's going to take time. So you just really have to put the work in and kind of understand that, you might not be where you want to be right now, but if you continue just work every single day, whether it is in basketball or whatever sport you want to get into, if you want to be an analyst, it takes time.
Good advice. Philip, I love reading. I love podcasts. I love books. What's one or more, if you want to, book, magazine, website, blog, podcast that you would recommend to our listeners, whether it's analytics or something else entirely?
I guess the first book would be Basketball on Paper by Dean Oliver. I thought was one of the better books that I've read, especially just around analytics. That's what I first read when I wanted to get into analytics, just because of the name, and I heard a lot of good things about the book. So that was one book that stood out to me. The websites that I like to use are NBAstats.com. That's just the real the main website for NBA stats. Really, they really have everything that you would want to know from the team or a player standpoint. But just other tools or sources, if you're a student out there that's trying to get into analytics, anytime you can get your hands on Sports Code or Synergy, that would be extremely beneficial in my mind.
All right. Philip, where can people follow you on social media or any other information about you online?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. Handle is Filthy Analytics. And then, I put a lot of my stuff, project-based stuff, like either on LinkedIn. I've got my own little personal portfolio, too, that's on LinkedIn as well. So that's where you can follow me and check out some of the work I've been doing.
Great. Again, my guest today has been Philip Lightpalm of Analytics for Athletes. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Philip will deliver a talk titled Breaking Down the Film, College Basketball Analytics. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, Philip.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Looking forward to presenting.
Awesome. And thank you for listening today. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details. And make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.